This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop.
Breaking overnight, a runoff called in Georgia where Democratic candidate John Ossoff failed to flip the 6th congressional district, forcing a face-off against Republican Karen Handel. So what are some of the wider political implications? Founder of The Resurgent and Fox News contributor Eric Erickson joins us live now. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning.
You're down there in Georgia. What was happening on the ground when you have this Democratic candidate basically declaring victory, that it was a quote-unquote victory for the ages when he did not win?
Democrats always seem to claim moral victories when they lose. He didn't get to 50%, and it's going to be more difficult in June. There are some warning signs for Republicans. Don't get me wrong. The Democrats were very enthusiastic. He outperformed Hillary Clinton in key areas of the district. He won several Republican precincts outright. But people forget this was a special election. There were real different dynamics. You had 11 very well-known Republicans fighting against an unknown Democrat with $8 million. He was able to build a positive name ID. The Republicans engaged each other for three quarters of the race before even paying attention to him.
Right. And so can this kind of message from the Democrats really win in the long run? Didn't we see this in 2016 where it was all about Donald Trump's a bad guy? It wasn't here's what we're going to do for the country. They made this all about Donald Trump in recent days, the last couple of weeks. He was tweeting back and they did not get to the 50%.
Right. I mean, the issue is here, the Democrats made this a case to vote for John Ossoff to make Donald Trump angry. Well, a lot of people did, but not enough to get him to 50% in a Republican district. Was there some things the White House should be worried about? Yes, a little bit. Some of the candidates most closely identified with the president did very bad, but they ran poor races as well. Karen Handel is someone who said she'd work with the president, but she has a long record of holding her own side accountable as well. She's a very strong candidate. And the 6th district is a district that has always treated Karen Handel very well, whether running for governor or for secretary of state. So Ossoff is unknown and lives outside the district.
Right.
If you don't live in the 6th congressional district, guess what? He couldn't vote for himself and neither could you.
And Eric, you were not on board with Donald Trump in the 2016 campaign. We all know that. Then you have this candidate, this Democrat, all this Hollywood money and endorsements pouring in, and Donald Trump stuck his neck out and he had that robocall in the last couple of days in the district, and he had the tweets directly more involved, it seemed, than the RNC or anyone else. You know full well that if the Democrat had reached 50%, this would have been Donald Trump put his neck on the line and lost. Instead, he put his neck on the line and lives another day, doesn't he?
Yeah, very much so. Listen, I can't tell you the number of people who called my radio show in the metro Atlanta area saying, you know, I didn't support Donald Trump last year, but the more these liberals lose their mind, the more I love the guy. And they came home to the Republican Party. The just incessant liberal bashing of Donald Trump and Republicans and attacking everything Republicans have done really help consolidate people behind the Republicans.
All right, Eric Erickson, I feel like the money is just about to...
I like his perspective, Eric Erickson, laying it out very clearly what happened there. You know, big field of Republicans, 11 candidates, including Bob Gray, who we interviewed. Carol Handel, of course, won the right to go on to the final round, and so it will be her and John Ossoff, and we'll see if the Democrats can come up with another $8 million. It's going to take that plus tax and license, but I'm sure the Republicans are going to make sure that it's a better fight, and they go after this. You know, they were, I think, you know, kind of pacing themselves in a way, it seems anyway. But President Trump had to get involved with the robocalls and kept Ossoff from hitting that critical 50 number. But the Democrats are trying to make a lot out of this, trying to make it seem like it's a referendum. But you tout whatever you can. If it was the other way around, the Republicans would be talking about a moral victory. Hey, look, it's in June. All those things will be settled quite rapidly because we'll know who's going to win. Yeah, a lot going on today. I was just looking. It's Pizza Pie Day. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever had a pizza pie. Pizza Cake Day, I guess. International Pizza Cake Day. Quite interesting. Maybe I've had one. In Orange County, there's a place called Tony's Little Italy where they do a really thick crust. I mean, but you could barely eat one piece. It's just so massive. So enjoy your Pizza Cake Day today. This is Bill Martinez. We're live. We're coming on 5 minutes after the top of the hour.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. Good to have you along with us. And then we talked about International Pizza Cake Day. I had to look that up to see, okay, a pizza cake. How do you do that? Then there's recipes and, you know, there's, I think you could barely consume one piece. Like I said, there was a place in Orange County where I used to live. Orange County, California, called Tony's Little Italy, and they did really thick crust. Oh, it was so good. And you could barely eat one, you know, one little piece of the pie because it was so good, though. I'm telling you. Also, National Pineapple Upside Down Cake. It's important to know these things, you know. Pineapple Upside Down. When was the last time you had a great pineapple upside? It's been a long time. And my mother, who's 92, she'll be 93 this year. Oh, gosh, she did the best pineapple upside down kicks. It's just absolutely delicious. Hey, can we talk baseball? It's the season, isn't it? And we're going to talk Dodger baseball, the blue and everything else in between. I was a Southern California boy, so I grew up rooting for the Dodgers. And our next guest, J.P. Hornstra, who reports on the Dodgers for the Los Angeles News Group. He's a regular media commentator on the team for major news outlets such as ESPN and MLB Network. Has written about sports and travel for more than a dozen newspapers and several periodicals since he was an undergraduate psychology student at UCLA. So, undergraduate psychology student, and you need to decompress, so get me to the ball field, right?
Yes.
Yeah, why not? But for you, so here it is, this opportunity to write about the 50 greatest Dodger games of all time. How much fun was that for you?
Oh man, it was a blast. I knew that the Dodgers were special when I started covering them, but you don't really get a sense for the scope of their history until you really start digging in and realizing they were playing National League games in 1890. Yeah. And they've had a very long history. Not all of it was great. I mean, that's one thing that really stood out to me is now we think of the Dodgers as this, you know, iconic historic franchise, but for the first 50 years of their existence, they actually weren't very good. Mm-hmm. They didn't win a World Series until 1955, and they've been playing in Brooklyn since 1890. And just to go back and dig through both the lean years early in their career and the better years, starting around the time that Jackie Robinson came around roughly, to their move to Los Angeles, to the Sandy Koufax era, to the 70s teams with Steve Garvey and Ron Stay and Bill Russell and Davey Lopes, and then Tommy Lasorda managing the team into the 80s and the 90s. I mean, it's a very colorful history with colorful people, and it was fun to write about.
Well, you know, when you go back, back in the days of Brooklyn, I mean, there they are. I mean... in the shadow of you know, awesome Yankee Stadium. And, you know, they probably at some points maybe have felt like a minor league team more than a major league team, being in the shadow of the great Yankee tradition, right?
Yeah. And being, you know, a West Coast kid myself, that was part of the discovery process for me. But that sentiment was very real. One of the games that I wrote about, game four of the 1947 World Series, was a game that the Dodgers beat the Yankees in the World Series, coming back with two runs in the ninth inning to win the game. And they hadn't had a hit to that point. And one of the really neat things that I uncovered in my research is the New York Times account of that game. They interviewed fans who said just what you just said, Bill, that, you know, this had been building for so long, and that inferiority complex, to see the Brooklyn Dodgers come back to beat the New York Yankees in the bottom of the ninth inning in the World Series, they vowed never to see a baseball game again because they thought it would never get any better than that.
Right. I mean, they're looking for a goat. They're looking for anything that they can to explain. Right. They're probably like the Democrats right now, trying to figure out, you know, what the heck happened here? How could it be possible that the Yankees could lose to the lowly Brooklyn Dodgers, right?
Right.
But let's talk about, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, and then, you know, 7 years later to win the World Series, I can only imagine how they felt that.
Well, you know, the other thing that's so fun about baseball are the names of the players. I mean, all the nicknames that went along. I mean, baseball was colorful. It was a time. It was, you know, the country's game. It was amusement. It was time to get away, decompress, or get compressed, depending on how passionate you were about your team. But the names of the players, that had to be a lot of fun to investigate.
It was. And the impact that the names had, you know, the Dodgers weren't always called the Dodgers. There was a period of time where they were known as the Brooklyn Robins. And one of the reasons is because their manager's name was Wilbert Robinson. And they literally named the team after the manager. He was such a colorful figure. There was a Gunnar McGonigal who managed the Dodgers. That game that I just referenced, game four of the 47 World Series, one of the heroes of that game was Cookie Lavagetto. like you said, it was a lot more interesting with the names in the first half of the 20th century than in the latter half. And that was a really fun part. I'm just trying to think even of a more contemporary, colorful name. And man, they kind of went away with the advent when nicknames became less popular. But there were some great ones back in the day.
Well, yeah, and then, I don't know, maybe the era of political correctness, I don't know what is colored it, but that was fun because it added some character and some appreciation, you know, for the game and also for the player, you know, that, you know, that's what he became known as, you know, and it was an identifier and something and became part of that person's brand, you know, that player's brand and the whole shot. So anyway, so as you're going back in your book, the 50 greatest Dodger games of all time, I mean, how do you start? Do you start out with the first 100, or you just throw it up and then come down to 50, and you finally have to make a decision and say, okay, I gotta cut it somewhere. So let's say 50 is the number, right?
Yeah, there were definitely some good games left on the chopping block. I had 50 as the goal all along. I don't think I ever got to 100, but I did start with a handful of games that just off the top of my head I knew had to be in there. Like, I knew Jackie Robinson's first game had to be in there.
Right.
Sandy Koufax's perfect game was an amazing one. I knew that had to be in there. Kirk Gibson walking it off in the bottom of the ninth against the Oakland A's in 1988. I knew that had to be in there. And there were maybe 10 of those, let's say. And then there were another handful of, let's say, a dozen games that I started reading about the Dodgers' history, and I remembered, oh, yeah, that game, that's in. Oh, yeah, this game over there, I forgot about that one, that's in. And then there were a little more than half that I just never even knew were plays. And the more I read about it, the more I thought, oh man, this has to be in there.
You got to bring it in. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, we've got to go to break. We've got more from J.P. Hornstra. Stay with us. We're talking Dodger Blue, the history from Brooklyn to Los Angeles. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Aging is one thing that affects everyone. George has talked about the power of stem cells for years. Now, there's a new serum that harnesses that stem cell power to bring back your youthful look. Beverly Hills doctor, Nathan Newman.
Stem cells are basically our fountain of youth. This is what maintains our body's reparative, regenerative abilities. As we age, every cell breaks down and needs to be replaced, and what replaces it is the stem cell.
Dr. Newman and Jeunesse have developed Lumines. Lumines takes the science of stem cells using the same growth factor complex that literally heals our cells, slowing the appearance of the aging process. Apply Lumines twice daily and on average see results in a week. Learn more, watch our video, and order today at a special Coast website, healthylooking.com. Plus, there's a 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's healthylooking.com. Lumines, for a healthier, much younger, better-looking you. Buy now at healthylooking.com.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueHealthFacts.com. That's TrueHealthFacts.com. Then call 502-410-3411. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Do you know what's lurking in your water? More than 200 contaminants could be sitting there, just waiting for your glass. With the ProPure water filter, start enjoying clean and great-tasting water today. ProPure filters, independently tested, latest water filter technology. ProPure systems do not require electricity and are easy to set up and easy to use. To find out more, visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
It's about time someone had the courage to say it. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, we're back with the America, 19 minutes after the top of the hour, visiting with J.P. Hornstra, who reports on the Dodgers for the Los Angeles News Group, a regular media commentator on the team for major news outlets such as ESPN and MLB Network. His book, The 50 Greatest Dodger Games of All Time. I want to get into some of those specific, JP, but you mentioned Jackie Robinson. We know that a couple weekends ago, the Dodgers unveiled a Jackie Robinson statue. And the first time the Dodgers have actually had a statue there on at Chavez Ravine, right?
Yeah, it is. This is a project that Mark Walter, the Dodgers owner, thought of a couple years ago. He only bought the team about 5 years ago, and shortly into his tenure decided that there should be a statue, and it should be of Jackie Robinson, at least the first one.
Yes.
And here we are 2 years later. It looks great, about 8 feet from head to toe. And it's got some quotes, some of Jackie Robinson's memorable quotes around the bottom. A lot of his family came out. Rachel Robinson, his wife, his daughter Sharon, and even his son David came all the way from Tanzania to come out there. It was great, a great crowd, and it was a special moment.
And, of course, this will open the door. We'll probably see Sandy Koufax, Drysdale, how many other monuments out there. Now that the door is open there at Chavez Ravine, we'll have more statues, huh?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know how many more will go in, but I'm sure when all is said and done, those gentlemen you just mentioned will be in there.
Exactly. Well, the 50 greatest Dodger games of all time, you start to look deeper and you find some surprises. Let's talk about some of the surprises as you were doing your research and said, whoa, this needs to be included here.
Yeah. You see, going back to nicknames, there was a baseball player for the Dodgers in the early 1900s named Iron Man McGinnity. Mm-hmm. And he got that nickname because he actually worked at an iron foundry in the off season back when baseball players had to have off season jobs.
Yeah, right.
He got hit. He was a pitcher. And he got hit by a batted ball on the field, or hit by a pitch, rather, when he was batting. And he got knocked out. He lost consciousness on the field. And he laid down on the field, blacked out, birds flying, fluttering around his head, got back up a minute later and was allowed to finish pitching the game and won. I can't imagine that happening nowadays. If a guy lost consciousness on the field, the stretcher would be out. He would wake up, you know, in an ambulance somewhere,
right,
and they wouldn't even allow him to leave the hospital before getting on his own 2 feet.
Well, of course, today you have the concussion protocol. There's no way that they would do that because of the liability. But, of course, that's the difference when you pay somebody mega millions of dollars and you're paying them maybe $5,000 a season to play, right?
And he has to work at an iron foundry.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. So that one had to be in there.
Yeah. Okay, a couple more. Let's rip through them. What else?
Oh, boy. Let's see. I was too young of a man to remember this one. Maybe you weren't, but the Dodgers and Houston Astros in 1981 played each other at the end of the season with a trip to the postseason on the line. The Dodgers won all three games over the weekend, swept the Houston Astros, forced a tie, but then they had to play a fourth game to determine who would go to the postseason. Not 1981. 1981 was the World Series year. This is the year before. Mm-hmm. And the Astros won. But it was that when I talked to Steve Garvey, who does still come by Dodger Stadium, he said, you have to put that series in there because that was just so exhilarating to chase the Astros for the pennant, for the trip to go to the postseason. And the fans were into it. It was an amazing series, even though the Dodgers did fall short. Mm-hmm. Not every game in the book is a Dodgers victory. So that was one.
Well, of course, I can still see Tommy Lasorda jumping up and down in those games. I mean, Lasorda held nothing back. I mean, he was the very heart and soul of Dodger blue during that run, wasn't he?
He was. He absolutely was. He still comes around the ballpark, too. He's a delight to see. But he was such a larger-than-life figure, more than probably any manager in baseball. Managers nowadays are so overwhelmingly calm, cool, and collected. They don't get thrown out of games nearly as much anymore.
Right.
And Tommy was a throwback. He was a delight.
Well, he follows Walter Alston. You see, I grew up with Walter Alston as the manager, of the Dodgers, and then he hands it over to Tommy Lasorda, which was incredible in terms of the amount of energy. It just like turned it up a whole nother launch, a whole nother level. Because and then of course in those days you had managers that stuck around for a decade or two. You know, now they're measured in maybe single years or months anymore, you know?
Right, and I find it a little ironic or at least coincidental that one of the very few managers who has been around long enough to be associated with one team is Mike Socha, who played for Tommy Lasorda.
Exactly, right.
Somebody who learned a lot under him.
And, of course, he goes on to bring the Angels of Anaheim, the Los Angeles, they're so confused, Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, a world championship. So, and I was there to see that, and that was excellent fun. But that's the Angels. We're talking Dodgers. What else you got?
Yeah, even some contemporary games that I was aware of, or even I remember when Hideo Nomo no-hit the Colorado Rockies at Coors Field back in 1996. It's one of those things that maybe you didn't appreciate at the time, but now, 21 years later, nobody's come close, no pitcher has come close to replicating that feat. Mm-hmm. And you'll remember, Bill, that they installed a humidor at Coors Field in Colorado to sort of stifle offense.
Right.
This is before the humidor, even.
Mm-hmm.
This is when teams averaged 10 runs a game at Coors Field. Mm-hmm. And I found it just fascinating that Nomo, really sort of humble guy raised in the Japanese culture, in Japan, after the game, to celebrate, he walked back to the team hotel and grabbed a bite to eat at 7-Eleven on the way. Like, that's how he celebrated this game.
Right.
And now it's such a historic accomplishment. You just can't even imagine that
exactly.
It passed, so meekly in the night.
Well, you talk about things that teams did. I remember the run when Maury Wills was stealing all the bases and how the teams would wet down the field, right? They wanted to
yes.
see if he was a mutter or not, I guess.
The Giants
yes.
particularly did
yes.
not want Maury Wills taken off from first base, yes.
Right. Yep. And when you bring up the Giants, of course, they have to be included. I mean, you think of the days of, McCovey and Drysdale and Marshall and of course not to mention that infamous attack at home plate against Roseboro.
That was a fascinating one to tell. If I can go off on that game, there was an entire book written about that game not too long ago, and I think the story of Roseboro and Marichal, with Marichal literally hitting Roseboro, again, things you can't imagine today. Literally, Marichal hit Roseboro with a bat on the field in the middle of a fight. Those guys became friends after they retired. And I think that's kind of the untold story of it, is that even though these two guys could be linked in this really ugly incident and to have been enemies for years after that, time heals all wounds. Those guys became pretty close friends.
Well, there's just something about athletics, the game of baseball, how it brings people together, us against them. It's about life, and after it's said and done, it's just like as we get older, we appreciate those that have been on the journey with us. 50 greatest Dodger games of all time includes 3 perfect games, 2 no-hitters, the longest game in Major League history, the first Major League game ever televised, a game in which the Dodgers pitcher lost consciousness on the field, which we just talked about, exhibition game that drew 93,103 spectators, and the first integrated game in Major League history. It's all right there in J.P. Hornstra's book, available at all the usual places. It will be linked on our website as well. The 50 greatest Dodger games of all time. J.P., thank you so much for being with us.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
With a recession ending,
if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-617-9312. 800-617-9312. 800-617-9312.
It's here, the biggest flooring event of the year. Lumber Liquidators 14th Annual April Sale, with 5 days of once-in-a-lifetime prices on top-quality North American and European laminate from 49 cents. Pre-finished hardwood from just 119. Bamboo from 139. Get wood-look waterproof floors from 59 cents. Limited-time deals on small lots from 29 cents and more. Plus, special financing. Don't miss it. New deals added daily. Get to the April Sale at Lumber Liquidators today.
Hey, diabetics. Yeah, you. Got a spare hour to waste going to the pharmacy to get your insulin or other meds and supplies every month? I didn't think so. Me either. I've got life going on, which is why I use PillPack. PillPack is an amazing online pharmacy. They package up all my diabetic meds and testing supplies into daily doses and send it to me every month, automatically. All I do is pay my normal copay. PillPack does the rest. I'm serious. This is a free service. They don't even charge for shipping. PillPack handles all the medical insurance stuff and even get with my doctors for my other prescriptions so I don't have to, which is good because that's the stuff I forget. But PillPack remembers everything. They even package up my daily vitamins so I remember to take them too. If you're diabetic, your meds and supplies are life and death, which means you need PillPack. Call right now for this free service. You may even qualify for $25 in free vitamins. 800-560-7310. That's 800-560-7310. Again, 800-560-7310.
Think about this. Your community's aging water infrastructure systems are very likely to be contaminated with heavy metals like lead, disinfection chemicals like ammonia, chlorine and chloramines, and pharmaceuticals like statins, pain meds, and antidepressants.
And no, water treatment plants are not equipped to filter these pharmaceutical toxins out.
Protect your family's water supply with a trusted Big Berkey water filter. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show Big Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria, and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification, and our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
Emails direct. NSA free to Bill at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, and if you want to, if you're in the Twitter mode, then we hashtag it too, okay? We do it always. Hashtag BML Talk. Let us know your thoughts, whether it's O'Reilly you want to talk about, Prince, the impact of Prince is, a year. Scott's been a year, right? An exact year, or was it a year tomorrow on Prince's death?
1 year tomorrow, I believe, is what it is.
1 year tomorrow. Gosh, it is so hard to imagine that. I mean, 57 years young. Absolutely tragic, and especially with the subsequent news and understanding what it was that actually killed one Prince, and then of course a conversation that we had earlier today with with Ben Grayman. What a great story on Prince, a rather non-traditional approach to a to a biography that Ben Grayman gave to us about Prince. Well, right now with us, an old friend joins us. I say an old friend. I've known Bradley for, it seems, several years now, he and his dad. And we met a while ago as we did an event to honor, persecuted Christians. There in the Nineveh province, the older area of Mesopotamia, as they say, the ancient area. And it was such a pleasure to get to meet Brad and his dad and spend some time. And Bradley Martin is a fellow with the Chaim Soloman Center News and Public Policy Group. and deputy editor at the Canadian Institute for Jewish Research. Brad, good to have you with us finally. I knew sooner or later we were going to be able to talk on the air together. How are you doing?
Thank you, Bill. It's wonderful to be on, and it's good to be speaking with you again.
Well, let's talk Israel as the last hope for Christians in the Middle East. Why do you see that?
Well, it's unfortunate because throughout the Middle East, you see in every country, whether it's Syria, Iraq, Christianity is dwindling rapidly. Mm-hmm. For example, you see that in 1910, for example, it was estimated that Christians were 14% of the Middle Eastern population. However, today it's now under 4% and rapidly declining.
Exactly.
You find that in Iraq, there were 1.5 million Christians until 2003, and today that number is estimated to be at 275,000.
Kind of amazing, because you think during that period of time, this is when Saddam Hussein was running the country, Christians had place. Now they no longer. I mean, you know, I mentioned, you know, when you and I did that event, that telethon for the Assyrian Christians, 1.3 million now, a couple hundred thousand if you're lucky?
Yes, yes, absolutely. It's with the Assyrian Christians, for example, they've been suffering genocide since ISIS came into the scene. When ISIS conquered Mosul in June 2014, all 45 Christian churches were destroyed or converted into mosques. You have historical places. For instance, Jonah's tomb has been turned into an amusement park.
Mm.
It's really unbelievable.
This has to be heartbreaking for the people there to see all these artifacts, traditions, and everything just overrun, and the world is just shrugging here. Brad, you know, and that's why you've come to the conclusion that if Christianity in the Middle East survives, it will not be because of any interest taken by Christians in our part of the world, but rather because of the state of Israel.
Yes, absolutely. Well, it's especially sad when you take into consideration that the Assyrian Christians today, they speak a dialect of Aramaic, and which would have been the exact same language that Jesus would have spoken
exactly
during his lifetime.
Right.
So that it's a living connection that goes all the way back to the Christian Bible. It's something has to be done, in all honesty.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have seen the slow creep of anti-Christianity, not only in our country, but around the world for this matter. The things that are said, I mean, forget about all the political correctness. Political correctness seems to work one way, but when it comes to people of faith, particularly Christianity, you know, the Bible tells us clearly the gates of heaven suffer violence, and it is going to be the righteous that take it by storm. So there is a call, there is a clarion call out to people of faith, people who really are Christians. And I say really are Christians, and you know what I mean by that. And if you question your Christianity, it's kind of like one pastor in Southern California. He's been doing a series of sermons, Bradley, you'd appreciate this. He says, who said you were a Christian? You know, it causes pause, right?
Yes, absolutely. It is time now that Christians, Jews, and everybody of consciousness has to come together and say enough is enough, and to stop this genocide from occurring and allow Christians to live in peace in their homeland. We're talking about populations that have lived in the region that existed centuries before the advent of Islam, and they're disappearing rapidly.
Well, why is the world silent on this, Brad? I mean, basically what this amounts to, as you're laying this out, is Christian genocide in the Middle East.
Right, absolutely. I can't speak, you know, for other people why it is silent, why people are silent. All I can do is bring awareness to people and say that this is happening and keep spreading the word.
Mm-hmm.
It,
well,
It could be a number of reasons. It could be that it's not of interest to people in the mass media. It could be a number of reasons.
Mm-hmm. But all this, you know, as the Bible says, God will not be mocked. We're going to reap what we've sown. You cannot do the kind of activity that you're doing right now. I say you, the world, in terms of the genocide of Christians. Everything else that's going on. I mean, God made it clear that he gave us a choice between life and death. And it would appear that what the world at large is choosing is death. They really don't want to do it God's way. They want to do it according to their own eyes. And sooner or later, the reaping will begin, if it hasn't already, in certain areas. That this is already being pronounced, but people are not connecting the spiritual consequence of their temporal choices, are they?
Absolutely. And I do feel that it's not a coincidence that this silence from people in with a big megaphone or people who have the power to bring awareness to the public. It is also very confounding, you know, that there is such a criticism towards the state of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas we see that Christianity throughout the region is dwindling, but in Israel, it's the complete opposite. It is thriving.
Right.
For example, it's a group. The Christian population in Israel grew, 300% since the foundation of the modern state.
Mm-hmm.
And you have Christians of every single denomination and tradition thriving and becoming real partners in the building and maintenance of the state.
Exactly.
In fact, in the Supreme Court, you have Salim Gibran, who during the last election, he had such a influence. He was responsible, for the Israeli election to make sure that everything was being held correctly. He was responsible for counting the ballots, making sure there were no abnormalities in the voting process. Now that is a lot of power, for a Christian in the Jewish state of Israel.
Exactly.
Now imagine in an Islamic state, whether it's Saudi Arabia.
Not even close. Not going to happen. Brad, we're out of time. I'm sorry to say, but we got to have you back. Look forward to our continuing conversation. Bradley Martin, fellow with the Chaim Solomon Center News and Public Policy Group and deputy editor at the Canadian Institute for Jewish Research.
Insurance. Call Life Quotes. We guarantee you the lowest prices or we will pay you $500. Plus, get up to $1 million in term life insurance with no medical exam. You do need term life insurance. Call Life Quotes now.
800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-765-1480 or go to web.com/radio. That's 800-765-1480.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
It's here, the biggest flooring event of the year. Lumber Liquidators 14th Annual April Sale with 5 days of once-in-a-lifetime prices on top-quality North American and European laminate from 49 cents. Pre-finished hardwood from just 119. Bamboo from 139. Get wood-look waterproof floors from 59 cents. Limited-time deals on small lots from 29 cents and more. Plus special financing. Don't miss it. New deals added daily. Get to the April Sale at Lumber Liquidators today.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hi there, I'm Bob Eubanks. You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-361-6907. 800-361-6907.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Lower taxes, less government, and self-reliance. They live here. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, look, if it's going to happen, it's going to be up to you, okay? Self-reliance, big thing. That's what we have to say to the millennials right now is that, look, there's a lot happening here in this country and a lot of opportunity. And you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out because you think somehow it's owed to you and it doesn't require hard work. Doesn't matter. It's going to require hard work. And the thing is, see, immigrants come here and they go, whoa, this is incredible. You mean I can do all this stuff here? And but you only got 10 cents in your pocket. No, it doesn't matter. I mean, if I can do this, let me have at it. I mean, compared to where I came from, where I could only barely dream about something like this, and now it's available here in this country. I love the United States of America. But, you know, our kids have been given a bunch of manure and led to believe that somehow they're entitled and somebody else is stealing their jobs. Well, look at, hey, the one thing about the starting pistol is everybody can hear that starting pistol. When you hear that starter's pistol, that means you got to get up and rolling and get at it. And this is what's happening right now in this country. There's that opportunity where people are coming to the starting line and there's some want to fuss and worry about all this other stuff that doesn't really help them. And they're distracted and they're going to miss out on an opportunity. But enough said about that because it's time for the good news girl, Samantha Mills-Mao, who is with us. Yes, she gives us all these viral videos that have been lighting up the Internet. And you got a bunch for us this week, huh?
I do. I have quite a few. And I actually wanted to comment on what you were just saying, you know, about immigrants having the opportunity. You know, my husband's Chinese and his parents moved here when he was 12 and his dad was a dishwasher and they were just thankful to be in America. You know, it took them years to go through the process. His dad had to come first and you've never seen anybody more patriotic or thankful to be here than his parents. You know, wow. It's just, it's an amazing thing. So,
well, can he help us out with the Koreans right now?
I know. Get him to talk to us, like hook us up.
Yeah, hook us up. Let's get, you know, forget about Dennis Rodman. Let's just talk to Kim Jong-un. You know, I promise we won't make fun of his haircut. You know, we were talking about this the other day. It's like, who came up with this hairstyle? I mean, it's not like it's so fashionable. Everybody loves it that you go there in North Korea. Everybody's got a haircut like his. It's probably written in the law that you can't duplicate that hairstyle. Number one. Number two is I would hate to be his hairstylist because, I mean, it's got to, oh, you look terrific. I mean, because if he thought for a second he didn't look terrific, I mean, we'd be looking at another hairstylist, right?
I would think so for sure. And then, don't mention my name. It's okay.
That's right. Well, you know, that's a great story about your husband. And your husband's a doctor. I mean, look what
that's
his father set into motion. And, you know, hard work. It's you come here. This still is the land of opportunity in the midst of all this controversy and stuff. But, you know, and we were talking a little bit about this earlier with Scott and I, about the temperament of people and being entitled and self-righteous and all that. Look at, you know, all that stuff is a distraction. It's all a bunch of noise. Go out there, do the best you can, work hard for yourself and for your family. And, hey, maybe your son will grow up to be a doctor as well, or, you know, God forbid, an attorney. Just kidding. I didn't mean to say that. Just kind of slipped out. I'm sorry. But, you know. Hey, why not? Just as long as, you know, never mind.
As long as they're.
I'm going to get myself deeper in trouble. I'm going to sound like Sean Spicer here in just a moment. I'll have to go on the 24/7 tour that nobody will believe that I was really sincere in apologizing. Hey, you got 45,000 Easter eggs that drop from the sky. The kids are going nuts. I mean, 45,000. I mean, do we have a lot of cracked eggs? I mean, this is like a bombardment on these kids. What's all this about?
This is the coolest. You know, you heard about the egg roll yesterday at the White House. Well,
oh, I mean, Saturday, everything's a controversy. I mean, you know, President Trump, you know, they can't do anything right. I mean, they want to make a controversy. The New York Times went crazy over this. I mean, it's like, come on, really? You know, this is an Easter egg roll.
It's like, it's just the most innocent thing ever. But this is actually in Ottawa. This is the an egg drop, and what they did is they had a helicopter to drop 45,000 plastic Easter eggs filled with like 100,000 pieces of chocolate from the sky.
Oh, wow.
They just poured it out, and the kids were chanting like, "Drop the eggs, drop the eggs." And so it had to be an amazing sight to witness, to see these like 40,000 eggs just come pouring out of this helicopter.
Oh,
and
gosh.
They just, there was about 3,000 kids there. And it was organized by a nonprofit group called We Heart Ottawa. And I mean, I am just fascinated.
And fun was had by all. Nobody got damaged. We didn't offend somebody. We didn't violate the eggs in any way. It was all good. Well, that's great.
It seems like it was just pure joy.
Good for the Canadians. Why not? I mean, it reminds me, Scott, remember that WKRP deal when they dropped the chickens? You remember? Remember the chicken drop thing? You know, or no, it was turkeys for Thanksgiving. Remember that? Did you watch that? Or were you
I do
old?
Not remember
You're
that.
You're too young for that. It was hysterical. It's a hoot. You got to look it up.
Turkeys can't fly, can they?
Well, they dropped the turkey. They dropped the turkeys. They created this big mess. They dropped the turkeys. From the plane. It's hysterical. Anyway.
Fly? I didn't know they could.
Well, not very far, but it's just, you know, you got to see the bit. I'm telling you, because I cannot do it justice, but you will laugh your crazy head off. It's just hysterical.
They more fall with style, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Here's the second one here. A mysterious stranger buys $1,300 worth of ice cream for every single customer. The receipt was 7 feet long. $1,300 worth of ice cream?
This is really cool. This ended up happening. This is down in Texas, and he's a legendary Good Samaritan now, known only as Mr. Greg. And apparently he popped into this little ice cream shop called Sweet Sammy's, and he just actually was in a rush at first. He was like, can I just validate this $20 parking? Mm-hmm. And the staff was so nice to him and so accommodating that he's like, you know what? I'm just going to stay. I'm going to pay for the next $100 worth of customers' ice cream. And then he ends up staying, and he pays up to $500, and then he keeps going up to $1,000. He ends up paying $1,300. The receipt is 7 feet long. Pays for ice cream for people all night. He hung out with the employees, and then he gives every employee a $100 tip at the end of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And they're actually going to, like, he's become such a legend, they're going to frame this 7 foot long receipt so they can remember this awesome night that Mr. Greg came in and just paid for everybody. It just became a whole event. And it's just really interesting that, you know, it was like he went from being in a hurry to stopping and being like, let me just, and, you know, people will talk about that forever. I'm sure that, you know, that one act of kindness, it's, you know, it's just buying somebody some ice cream, but it's the mood that he set.
Exactly.
Down there in Texas and Sweet Sammy's.
Sweet Sammy's. Had to be Sweet Sammy's, huh? That's great. I love it.
Great name for a store.
Yeah, why not? Why not? And what a treat for everybody. And speaking of tips, you got a waitress gets a $400 tip.
That's right.
And that was just the first surprise. So what else happened?
That's right. Kayla Shandera, actually, she works as a waitress in Hawaii, and an Australian couple came in last week. And she was just telling them that she had moved there to go to school, but she was working a lot, and, you know, she wasn't able to go to school yet. So on a $200 bill, they left $400 tip. And so that was just the beginning. They had told her that where they were staying, you know, just talking to her. And so she sent them some flowers and a thank you card just to say how much she appreciated the tip. And they ended up paying off her $10,000 student loan debt so she can go back to school.
Wow.
So it was one of those things. They said, just work and do your best. And you know that, you know, just take, and she said at first she wasn't going to even take the payment because it was just so overwhelming to her, but they just wanted her to do something good with her life, and they obviously see a lot of potential in her, so good for her.
What a blessing, and for the customers to participate in this. You know, this is something that my son shared with me the other day, and he talked about people losing their blessing. And the way he said this, I mean, I said, wow, David, what a great observation on your part, that people sometimes just miss the blessing. And the blessing goes both ways, being blessed and blessing. And it's just a blessing lost. And the way he said that, I thought, wow, that's a very cool observation. 60 Minutes, an eye doctor's curing blindness, giving away
that's
books.
Right. Wow. Okay, so this is actually...
Hey, if he walks on water, he better be careful. You know what happens next. Right?
Well, there's two doctors, Dr. Sanduk Ruit and Dr. Jeff Tabin. And they claim to actually have restored, like, reverse blindness for more than 4 million people already, which I just thought was an astonishing number in itself. I'm like, how would you do that? They are removing the cataracts. And so if people donate money, they'll be given the book called Second Sons, which is about their story and their quest to cure blindness. I just thought that is, that's miraculous. You know, it's something, it's a simple procedure to remove the cataracts, but if you don't have access to it, it's an impossibility.
Exactly.
And vision's something we know.
So they're operating in all these third world countries kind of thing, Sam? Are they in third world countries?
That's right.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. They travel to Burma and different places like that, just traveling around the world, helping different people.
Can you imagine these people?
Otherwise wouldn't have access.
They can't see. All of a sudden they go in, you know, like you say, a simple procedure. And these doctors, bless their heart, giving of themselves. And people can see. I mean, wow. I mean, their reward is just that. Forget about payment. You know, don't give me a chicken or, you know, a turkey that you thought could fly. Yeah, turkeys don't fly. But you'll find out when you look that thing up. It's hysterical, these guys. Well, at least they weren't frozen turkeys they threw out. I mean, you can imagine.
That's true, that would be dangerous.
Yeah, but it was it's the whole scene. It's hysterical. You think it's the Hindenburg one more time, all these turkeys, the devastation taking place. Only the way that WKRP can do it. Okay, whale rescued from fishing nets, puts on show for tourists off the coast of Cornwall. We got just about 20 seconds, so we got to talk fast.
Sure. There's a 45-foot, 20-ton whale named Doris that's off the coast of Cornwall. She was rescued from the ropes last month, and whenever she saw the ship going by, she actually jumped out of the water like 25 times, putting on a show, showing her gratitude. So I feel like that whale knew they rescued her and saved her from potential death. And
hey, this is why we call her the good news girl. Samantha Mills Mao on Bill Martinez Live.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't.
What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-958-9659. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-958-9659. That's 1-800-958-9659. 1-800-958-9659.
Are you looking to become...